Well, once again, thank you for worshiping with us this morning, and welcome to those who are joining us online, who are watching this at a later time. Welcome. You know, today we're going to be talking about forgiveness, and for some of us, that's a touchy subject, or for some, we're waiting for it, right? Waiting for someone to forgive us, or we're thinking about it, whether we should forgive or not to forgive. And so let me read you a passage here as we start off this time together. I think you should get comfortable because this might take a while. This is the word of the Lord from Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through 22. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. And if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. It's interesting because how do we treat, or Jesus treated folks who were pagans or corrupt tax collectors? He sat with them, he ate with them, he loved them. I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among you. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? Whoa, seven times. No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. And in the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars, and he couldn't pay, so his master ordered him to be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please, be patient with me, and I will pay it all. And then his master was filled with pity for him, and then he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat, demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. He said, be patient with me, and I will pay it, he pleaded. Does that sound familiar? But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested, put him in prison until the debt could be paid in full. And when some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and they told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? And then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brother and sisters from your heart. This is the word of God from the people of God. Thanks be to God. Many of you have ever hurt someone. Or maybe I'm the only one, all right? Or how many of you have had someone hurt you? Yeah, or maybe both, right? Well, this is interesting because Jesus gives us some rules of engagement and reminds us that we gather in his name and gather others together. There's power in numbers and accountability to kingdom living when it's done together, especially when it comes to living out our kingdom values with one another. And so Jesus tells this parable of a man who is in incredible debt. And this king goes, I'm going to sell you, your family. I'm going to gather what I can from this terrible decision that I have made, and I'm going to be done with you. And this man says, if you just be patient with me, I'll pay it back. And he knows he can't pay it back. He's just saying anything to just give him some time. And yet, the king forgives him. And then he comes out and he sees a person who owes him much, much less, a fraction of the cost of what he owes. He holds him by the throat. You know how violent that can be when you hold someone by the throat and says, give me my money, pay me. Now, we may not physically do that to someone, but we sure do like to emotionally hold someone in a chokehold sometimes, don't we? I know that when someone hurts me, I'm thinking, I should have done this. I should have said this. If I said this, maybe it's like a dagger to just stick them a little bit, right? I want them to feel that pain a little bit, stick them. Or maybe I need to say things that will cripple them so they know how much pain they have caused me, right? And so he puts him in prison and expects him to pay off a debt. How does a person pay off a debt when you're in prison? Well, see, that's the thing. He doesn't expect him to pay the debt. He says, I'm going to hold you in a prison for a long, long time. Here's something we need to be reminded of. Forgiveness is vital for the movement of the kingdom of God, and it is the heartbeat of what it means to follow Jesus. Forgiveness is vital for the movement of the kingdom of God, and it is the heartbeat of what it means to follow Jesus. You know, but this is interesting because Peter does something very interesting here. He questions Jesus in a way, and it's one of those ways where everyone's thinking it, but of course he has the boldness to just say, look, how many times can you tolerate someone gaslighting you, right? How many times can you tolerate someone continuing to do this thing over and over and over again to you, doing you wrong? Peter throws out a number. And it's a meaningful number. He throws out the number 7, thinking, oh, but this is a holy number, right? First of all, numbers are very significant and meaningful in the biblical text. The number 7, it means the fulfillment of a promise, spiritual perfection. So in fact, so much so that every 7 years in Hebrew culture, they would exonerate debt that is owed. So for Peter to mention 7 times, he was making a statement of wondering, how many times can one forgive and how long? Because some of us, we can't get past 3, but 7, well, 7 is perfect. Well, Jesus says, no, not 7 times, Peter. You've fallen very short. 70 times 7. You know, one of the most common conversations I've had as a pastor is the topic of unresolved conflict. Hurts people have from people who have hurt them, and lifelong struggles to forgive people. A few years back, I did a funeral service, and one of the most heartbreaking things was the incredible service it was for this gentleman who passed, very well loved. But there was one dark spot in that funeral service. The family was heartbroken because the youngest son refused to come to this funeral service because he still had unresolved conflict with his father and they never resolved it. And he passed away too early. And so they were wondering, will he show? They even asked me, can we delay this service and see if he shows up? And we all waited and waited and waited. And finally, the oldest son says, we just got to start. He's not coming. And the disappointment in their face was heartbreaking. We have unresolved conflicts. This is something that happens over and over and over again. But here, Jesus does something. Because here's the conversation. Let me give you a little bit of context of what's happening before it leads up to this point. See, the disciples are arguing. If you read beforehand, the chapters before, disciples are arguing who is the best disciple. And how do you determine this? You know, so you know what Jesus does? He starts giving examples and stories. And he says, you got to be like a child. You got to pray this prayer. In fact, he says, you should pray this prayer every day. We call it the Lord's Prayer. We prayed it today. Notice in the prayer, there's a line that says, forgive us our sins and forgive those who sin against us. Now, Jesus is very intentional about everything. Everything that he does, he's very intentional. So for him to have this statement in a prayer, he says, we should pray every day means that this is pretty important stuff. If he says, you should pray this, forgive us our sins and we should forgive those who sin against us, that's important. And so Jesus believes forgiveness is vital for the movement of the kingdom of God, and it is the heartbeat of what it means to follow him. And so he prays daily to forgive and to receive forgiveness. God's forgiveness of me is directly tied to my ability to release and forgive others. God's forgiveness of you is directly tied to your ability to release and forgive others. But now Peter comes and he wants to clarify, because he says, wait, what are you asking us to do? How much do I need to put up with this? 7 times? Whoa. No. Look, most people are pretty patient after 2 or 3 times, but 4 times, maybe 5, but 7 times. And Peter continues to push that, and Jesus says, no, you're not getting the point. See, Jesus says 70 times 7 for a reason. It's not that he really wants you to forgive someone 490 times, right? But see, in Genesis chapter 2, Jesus is referring to the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 2, there were two brothers named Cain and Abel. And what happens in the story is Cain kills Abel, and Cain is banished, and he leaves his family. But he goes and he builds a city called Enoch. It was named after his son. And the city grows. It's a place where you don't want to live. Even the Bible describes it as, you do not want to live here in the city of Enoch. And so Genesis 5 talks about what this city is like and why you don't want to live there. And he gives example of a person who lives there, and his name is Lamech. He's a poet. And he sings one of the first songs in the Bible, and he talks about how tough and macho he is. He says, look, I am tough, and no one messes with me. In fact, he sings a song about a young man who tried to pick a fight with him and how he murdered him on the spot. And he wrote a song, and it says, look, he says, I didn't give him just 7 times the vengeance of this young man. I gave him 70 times 7 the vengeance. So all you better watch out. Because if you say something to me, I'm going to drop the hammer on you. 77 times the revenge. So this is the story that Jesus alludes to on teaching on forgiveness. So Jesus is telling us something about forgiveness. He is saying that is counter to our nature. See, our nature is when somebody wrongs us, we do a couple things. We either want to get them back, or we either walk away and we shy away from it and we just think, you know what, we bury this for a while. Maybe it'll eventually go away. That's the Christian thing to do, right? So Lamech is the poster child of revenge. And he says, that's our nature. Don't mess with me or I will make you pay. And Peter says, okay, Jesus, all right, I know. I hear you. I've heard that story before in Hebrew school. I know what you're talking about. And then you're teaching us these new things. Yes, yeah, we're to be like a child. We are to go and we are to talk to the person, go confront them and bring another person with us. These are all wonderful things. We are to pray daily to forgive, and we are to be forgiven and pray those and to forgive others. But what's the limit? How many times can we put up with this? At what point do we go back to our nature? When it's okay, when someone continues to do this over and over and over again, when can we go back to an eye for an eye? Is it after the 490th time when they do it 491? That's when we're like, okay, Jesus, you're releasing us to do our thing. Is that when it is? And Jesus is saying, no, it's a completely different deal. You know what the world says? The world says, all these things about when somebody wrongs you, what you got to do, you got to fight for yourself, You got to stand up for yourself. You got to make this person know that they have wronged you. But Jesus says forgiveness is a sign of a new and different humanity. He's saying you should be like Lamech, but with a different practice. Because if Lamech is about revenge, then the kingdom of God is about mercy and forgiveness. So how do we deal with the person who has hurt you? Because it has either already happened to you, or it's happened now, or it will happen to you. So how do you deal with it in the way that Jesus says this is how you should? Well, if you were a follower of Jesus, this is a sign of the kingdom that is, this is what we do. Doing the opposite of what our culture says we should do. But here's something that I want to clarify. And I feel like we in the church have done a disservice with this. We've gotten it wrong. We have misinterpreted forgiveness and we have abused it. We haven't taught people what forgiveness actually is. You don't have to be a pastor or a Bible scholar, go to seminary, or be an adult or anything else to know what Jesus says, what forgiveness really is. You just have to read it. If you read it, you can see Jesus says this is what forgiveness is, and this is what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not 7 times 77 times. Let me repeat that. Forgiveness is not 7 times, but it's 77 times. And if that's the case, then what is it then? Because if forgiveness is vital for the movement of the kingdom of God, if it is the heartbeat of what it means to follow him, then what does this mean for us when Jesus says, not 7 times, but 7 times 70? Well, first, we're going to have to clarify what forgiveness is not. Then we're going to talk about what Jesus says forgiveness is. And I want to express something here to you. This is not my version of what I believe the Bible is saying or my own thoughts. I am reading and telling you this is literally what Jesus is saying to you and to me. So what does it mean to forgive someone? What do you think? You ever heard of the phrase to forgive and forget? Or I've heard this before, love will overlook the wrongdoing. Look, love will cover over when someone wrongs you, yes, but not overlook it. So what do we get wrong about forgiveness? Does it mean that we are to be doormats and people continue to do this over and over and over again? And if we're just good Christians, then we can just go, hey, it's okay, Jesus loves you. No. Is it okay for people continuing just to step on us repeatedly and do this? But the Christian thing to do is to forgive them and allow them to keep doing what they've been doing? No. Forgiveness does mean something, but it doesn't mean we lay down and become someone's doormat. You see, if you read Matthew 18, verse 15, there's the NIV version, but I'm going to read to you the New Living Translation. And read these, listen to these words. If your brother and sister sin against you, go privately, point out their offense. Now remember, it's not going to point out and say, hey, you royally messed up, and I'm going to make you pay, and I want you to know why you messed up. No, that's not what it is. But it's to go and to confront them, to talk to them, so that you can win them back. So what's the first thing you do when somebody wrongs you? Forgive and forget, right? No, you go and you talk to them. What do? Do you let it go? No, Jesus says, go and talk to them. Out of love for them, you talk to them. And if they don't listen, then what do? You get someone else to come with you. Then you go. And if it still won't happen, what do then? You get more people to come with you. Jesus tells us to do this when we hurt each other. Do you see what the disconnect is here? See, Jesus says, forgive. And we silently forgive and we get hurt over and over again because that's the Christian thing to do, is when we forgive, we just let it go. But Jesus says, don't let it go. Go talk to the person. Those are two different messages. So this is confusing. Either Jesus is saying he's teaching us two different things, or we're getting something wrong, right? Because forgiveness is also not tolerating or allowing further wrongdoing or abuse as well. And this is one of the most common misunderstandings. How many times do we forgive? 7 times? No, 77 times. Well, then we should just take it, right? No, that's not what Jesus is saying. We miss the point. If someone wrongs you, so what does Jesus say we must do? We have to go and we have to talk to them. Well, what if they say, well, you know what? I don't understand what you're saying. I don't think I've done you wrong. You know what? You're just overreacting. You're out of your mind. What happens if they refuse to listen to you? What do you do next? Well, you get someone else to come with you, and you tell them. And you know, sometimes it is good to have someone come with you, and you explain the situation to them, because maybe when you share with this person, you bring them along with you, and you tell them, hey, this is a situation, will you go with me? And they listen to your situation, circumstance, and go, you know what, they may have a point there. And you're like, oh, okay, I need to rethink this. Or the person goes, I am so sorry this happened, I will go with you. And you talk to them. You see what Jesus is doing here? Think about it. When Jesus says, go talk to the person, and then they refuse you, and then he says, go back again, but don't go back alone, take someone else with you. See, if the person has hurt you, and you share your hurts with them, and they disregard you, and they dismiss you, and they hurt you more, Jesus is saying, don't be alone with this person anymore. Jesus thinks you should create safe boundaries between you and the person and create a safe space for you. This is what we need to do for each other in community. 77 times does not mean get back in there and keep getting hurt. I want you to know Jesus does not call you to forgive the person that has wronged you. Jesus does call you to forgive the person that has wronged you. Don't get me wrong, but if you are in a scenario where there is deeper pain and abuse, then your first priority is not to forgive, but to be safe. And talk to someone. Look, we have staff here, myself, and there's others here. If you are in a circumstance where there is abuse and you need to talk to someone, we will direct you. We may not be equipped to do that for you, but we can direct you and give you a phone number. We can direct you to people who can talk to you. And so know that, because this is what the church is for. You must understand that. It's not to go back and continue to go back in your circumstance and endanger yourself emotionally, physically, or anything. Jesus is saying, once you do that, you go back, you take someone with you because you need to create safe space for yourself, okay? Jesus is teaching us to set up boundaries so that we can gain stability and safety, to be in community so that we can begin the hard work of forgiving that has to come for those who follow Jesus. But it may not happen right away, and there's a lot of hard work that comes with it. And we don't do a good job with that. But this is something everyone who follows Jesus has to know. Jesus is asking you to forgive, yes, but he is not asking you to be a doormat and allowing people to continue to hurt you over and over and again. It does not mean that things will go back to where it was. We have to understand two things. One, reconciliation and forgiveness are two different things. And a lot of times we mix those things together and we think they're the same, and they are not, right? Forgiveness is not the same as this. In order for reconciliation to happen, when someone has really hurt you and they may or may not have meant to, what does that mean to reconcile? Well, it means this. Someone has hurt you. And so if you're going to reconcile with them, you're going to tell them, and you go and confront them and tell them, and you know what's going to have to happen? They have to recognize what they did. I did that. I am sorry. And then they will have to take responsibility for it. And they will need to see that it was wrong, and they will need to apologize. And this is a lot of work. And it requires deep change and humility by that person. So what if they don't do it? Can we still forgive them? Yes, you can. Because one of the things we get confused about this is that we forgive and that reconciliation needs to happen, and it doesn't necessarily need to happen. But we can't always control, because we can't always control what the other person does. We can't control their apologies. Forgiveness is different. Reconciliation requires both parties to make amends and continue to walk together. But forgiveness is different. It may mean you will not be friends anymore. It may mean that by the time you're ready to forgive, that person may not be there to physically be there so that you can forgive them or tell them. There may be a lot of different circumstances, but it will not be the same. So what is forgiveness? There's a theologian named Lewis Smedes, and he wrote a book called The Art of Forgiving. And this is what he says forgiveness is. Forgiveness is giving up my right to retaliate. That's what forgiveness is. Giving up my right to retaliate. Changing my heart attitude towards the offender. Jesus says the act of forgiveness comes from the heart. Now, this is interesting because the Hebrew people, they don't have a word for brain. They use the word heart. They believe that this, it is your heart is where you do your thinking, where your emotions come from, where your will comes from. In our culture today, we think heart is where we feel. And that's it. We think with our heads. We feel with our hearts. We love from our hearts, right? But for Jesus, heart is about choice. It is a choice to make and what you feel when you make that choice. And it won't always be what you feel like doing, but it is something Jesus wants his followers to do. See, review what the servant does. He is forgiven, and he chokes the person that owes him money less than what he was forgiven. And here's what unforgiveness does to us. It makes us in the state of frenzy. I once heard this. When we're waiting for someone to feel our pain, and we're waiting for someone to understand or confront us or talk to us about some wrongdoing, and we don't go and talk to them, they say it's like taking poison ourselves and waiting for that other person to die. It just eats us up. That's all it does. And so when we put people in prison and we expect them to pay back a debt that they can't pay, well, maybe because we don't want them to be able to forgive or to be forgiven. Maybe we don't want them to apologize. Then it's not about justice for us anymore. In fact, it may not be about justice anymore. Maybe just about feeling the satisfaction of they feel pain just like you did. Maybe more pain. We want the person in an impossible position so that they can feel pain and not have the ability to apologize. Because we may not feel that all the time, but you know what? We have. I know I have. When someone has hurt me, sometimes I want them to pay a debt, but I want them in prison so they can't pay that debt back. Because I don't want the satisfaction. I don't want to give them the satisfaction of releasing them. Because I haven't released them yet. Right? So I hold them with my bitterness, with my hatred. But is that what Jesus calls us to do? No. See, forgiveness is first a decision to give up and choose not to retaliate. In the kingdom of God, we do conflict differently. We choose to forgive, and we make room for God to work and to heal. Because we got to remember that God has forgiven us. See, we live in Cain's city. Look at our world. Look around us. There are lemmings all around us who boast about, if you mess with me, I will mess with you. Right? Or there's lemmings inside of us, the little ones. Sometimes we have confrontations, and those things well up in us. But here's the thing, we created this mess, and we owe billions of dollars to God, and look at what we've done to this world that God created. We remember this. This is the gospel. God is committed to this world and the people in it. And rather than enact revenge and vengeance and make people pay, he comes among us in the person of Jesus and personally absorbs our debt. He takes our sin as an act of love. And in the resurrection, he offers us hope and life and releases us from the consequences of what we have done here. He releases us by his love. The moment we forget that is when someone says something bad to us and we think that offense weighs more than what God has done and forgiven in us, right? I'll remember that God has forgiven me, and that is pure gold, and we'll sing about it. But the minute I go out and I'm on 285 and someone cuts me off, I forget it just like that. And I'm like, that offense weighs more than God's forgiveness of me, right? All the time, right? And then I'm remembering, oh man, what a fool I am. One of the things that God calls us to do is we need to rediscover our humanity in one another. When you forgive, you acknowledge the person as a person. We have a tendency to whittle down people to what they did. If you lie, then you are a liar. If you do this, then you are this. Fill in the blank, or maybe we shouldn't fill in that blank, because there are a lot of words we can come up with. But sometimes we whittle people down to their actions than really seeing them as a human being. We'll associate people with their acts. We'll demonize people. And what we forget to do is to know what you did was selfish, to acknowledge what you did was selfish, and recognize, you know what? I am selfish too. I may be selfish in different ways than you are, but I am not that far from you. See, it's humbling when you recognize the brokenness in each other. We might be selfish in different ways. You might have a mess in this area, but guess what? There are other areas in my life where I am a mess, and God is doing some work in me. See, when we recognize God's forgiveness in us, it humbles us and leads us to choose to forgive, to show mercy. And he calls us to offer compassion instead of hatred. What would happen if we were to offer compassion instead of hatred? What would life be like if we actually did what Jesus asks us to do? When there's conflict, you know the hardest thing? It's one thing to watch like second graders have conflict, and you're looking at it and go, oh my goodness, this is so... Sometimes it's cute, but then it's not, because kids can get nasty, right? But then what happens when they grow up and they're still doing the same things? And as adults, we're in our 50s and we're still doing the same things. It's not cute anymore. It's ugly. And yet, sometimes we will find this type of stuff in the church. What would happen? And what would life be like if we actually did what Jesus asked to do? When there is conflict, we go to the person and say, hey, I need to have a tough conversation with you. We need to have a talk. And not accuse the person, not belittle them. You are this, but maybe when this happens, this is the way I feel. And have that conversation. And when they dismiss you, you go back and you bring someone with you and say, hey, we had a conversation. I need to have a second conversation. Because here's the thing. This is what Jesus calls us to do. And I don't want you outside of a community. I want to be in community. So can we do this together? It's giving up our right to retaliate. Because forgiveness is vital for the movement of the kingdom of God. And it is the heartbeat of what it means to follow him. What would happen if we were to offer compassion instead of hatred? Especially to those who disagree with us, may not have the same views as we do. What would happen if we were to offer compassion instead of hatred to the person who cuts us off on the freeway? I deal with this every morning. I drop my kids off at school. I don't know what has happened to car rider lines, parents. It is a jungle out there. And there, I was face to face with a parent who went down the wrong, she went down the wrong way. And we're just standing there staring at each other. And the first reaction is what are you doing? And I want to just get on them. But I've been that parent who had a kindergartner who was trying to frantically get my kid to school and not have to check them in and do the walk of shame, right? And so I understand. I've been there before. What if we offer compassion instead of anger and hatred and retaliation? To belittle people, to make them feel like, you know what, this is what you amount yourself to. Because you lied, you are a liar. If you did this, this is who you are. Instead of, hey, I've messed up. I'm selfish too. We acknowledge each other's humanity. What would happen? I think a lot of good can happen, and we would see a glimpse of God's kingdom in more ways than we can ever imagine. And we can see the body of Christ truly be the body when we do what Jesus asks us to do. Let's pray.